This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
This version of America Tonight, Comey, 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 lots of conversations about what's going to come out of this new tell-all book that James Comey has written. And in Washington, D.C. and beyond Washington, D.C., there are a lot of people that are talking about it, whether they think it's complete and utter crap, or they think that there's some truth to what Comey says. On the cover of the New York Daily News, they mocked the president over Comey's revelation that the president considered asking him to investigate the infamous P tape, is what they're calling, to disprove of its existence. So the headline said P brain on it, and says that Trump was obsessed with that and that he wanted the FBI to prove the tape was a lie. And there were other, revelations that are in this book. And this, of course, is going to be what everybody's talking about over the weekend. And they're talking about it now. The book is going to come out officially on Tuesday. So while that's happening, there was the big bombshell news just the other day about Paul Ryan stepping aside and saying that he wanted to spend time with his kids. His father died when he was a teenager, and his kids are teenagers, and he did not want to miss any time with them after the time he had spent in D.C. And I guess there was some conversation about him dumping out earlier. And he said on Thursday he's not going anywhere anytime soon, despite a small group of lawmakers who say he should just get rid of the speaker's job right now. He said he's going to leave in January, and he pushed back for calls for him to resign sooner than that. He said, "I've said all along my plan is to stay here and run through the tape. I've talked to a lot of members who think it's all in our best interest for this leadership team to stay in place and run through the tape," meaning the midterm elections is part of what he's talking about. He's a great fundraiser. He came into the job with a goal to raise $20 million, and guess what? He raised $40 million for the Republican Party. And when you run for office, it costs a whole lot of moolah. I know it's ridiculous. And then it becomes a question of who steps in next. And is it Tom Graves, the Republican from Georgia, or is it Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, the Republican from California? So there's a lot of people leaning toward McCarthy, but that's not anything that's being discussed right this second. I mean, it's being discussed, but there's also a push for Steve Scalise, who was the guy, if you remember, from Louisiana, who was shot when that nut shot up the ball field when the Republicans were practicing. So that's another possibility too. But Ryan says he's staying put. He's not looking to bail out any time earlier. He just wanted them to know ahead of time so they could get their ducks in a row, if you know what I mean. So that's part of the conversation. And then there's some other stories that are being weaved in a couple of different directions, including Syria after the horrific gas attack. Another one. The White House is still weighing a potential strike on Syria, but they don't want a civil war. They don't want to escalate it out of control. And Defense Secretary Mattis is concerned about that. He said a decision hadn't been made about whether or how to strike Syrian President Bashar Assad's regime. They're accused of launching that chemical attack that killed dozens of people last week. But he says decisions are going to be made fairly soon, and that's what the president's saying. He said, too bad the world puts us in a position like that. It was Mattis who spoke before a House Armed Services Committee hearing a day after Donald Trump taunted Russia, warning of an attack in Syria. So will there be an attack or won't there be an attack? It's up for grabs, 50-50, as they say. And, you know, it brings to question, we still are the world's police force. And when you see what that gas does and then you see kids that are affected and families that are affected, it just makes you sick. What happens to people when they're gassed that way? And he's been allowed to run wild, so to speak, and I think there's got to be a way to take him out. Unfortunately, the Russians got involved in it, and there was some protection there from Russia. So they're probably working on some sort of strategy that hopefully is in place sooner rather than, you know, later, because you don't want to see more of these young children that are breathing in oxygen, because if not, they're choking to death on that gas and their family members are dying around them. Just, you know, absolutely horrific and hard to fathom. Imagine if I jumped on the airwaves and I was talking about a similar attack in the United States, we would be aghast. We would lose it if that was happening. It's just hard to fathom a world where this is what they deal with because of Assad and that consistent war that's happening in Syria. Brutal. All right, taxes, taxes, taxes. Did you do your taxes? Somebody asked me today, did you do your taxes? Of course I did my taxes. It's the three dreaded letters. Nobody wants to hear about the IRS, right? And I think sometimes because there's the fear of the IRS, and hopefully it's none of the smart, fabulous people listening to this show in Portland, Oregon, in Sarasota, Florida, in New Orleans, my favorite city. It's so hard to leave New Orleans. Oh, the nightlife in New Orleans, the jazz, the people. But anyway, the thing that's interesting is the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that went into effect at the beginning of this year, and it basically overhauled the tax code. It doubled the standard deduction and did away with personal exemptions. So this is the last time you file under the old code, and it's the last call for certain tax breaks. So expenses, you know, so unreimbursed employee expenses, job search expenses, that's something that if you did that, you want to make sure that you take whatever you can take for that, right? Casualty losses, personal property, that kind of stuff, a natural disaster. We had a lot of those this year across the country. Fires, some kind of an accident, the hurricanes, the California wildfires, they can claim a casualty loss, and that will help on the taxes. Home equity loan interest. This is the last time you can deduct interest paid on your home equity loans and home equity lines of credit if you borrowed up to $100,000, no matter how you spent the money. But starting in 2018, there's new limits on that. So if a home equity loan wasn't used to build, buy, or improve your house, you can't deduct. Mortgage insurance premiums, right? That expires. They renewed it retroactively, but that's something to look at. So it's interesting. There are definite tax possibilities that, you know, that you can take advantage of, deductions. So make sure you do that if you're doing it last minute. Stay with us.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy.
We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
As always, thanks for hanging with us here on the show, America Tonight. You know, we're celebrating over 10 years, which is, gosh, so hard for me to believe. Honestly, I cannot believe how fast time flies. It feels like I've only been doing this a couple of years, and I want to thank everybody who has been around for that whole time, where some of you even recognized it before I did and sent me notes, and thank you so much for that. I mentioned New Orleans and the fact that we are on in the great city of New Orleans, and it's interesting because I've spent a bunch of time there, and it doesn't matter when you go. Whenever you go, there's just so much amazing history, and the buzz, I think the buzz, the vibe, the whatever you want to call it that you feel when you're there is just spectacular. I really do. And, you know, I'm sort of a citizen of the U.S., meaning that I feel like I've lived. Why I can relate to so many of you is because I've had the privilege of living in so many wonderful places, at nooks and crannies in the U.S. And our friends on WWL are pretty interesting to talk to, because many of them have taken me around the city, but they're not the only ones, because, you know, we have such a great tie to, again, such a great tie to the people that are there because of WGSO. And WGSO, 990 AM, is such a rock, a power rock station to me for, again, the kind of, I think the kind of programming they have there. We've had some of the people on the air from WGSO. We have so many great affiliates. But you really get a feel for the city when you listen to Jeff Cruer, my buddy, who's been on this show a couple of times. And he's, if you're in that city, listen to him. And, of course, we're proud to be on the air there every single night of the week, I believe. And again, it's just an interesting place. And the reason I bring up New Orleans is because they're celebrating, and I didn't realize this, 300 years of survival. And what are they celebrating? Storms, floods, revolts, newcomers. Everything. I read this great story, and somebody had forwarded it to me because they heard me talking about New Orleans. And they heard me talking about jazz, and they heard me talking about spending some time there and the street parades and all that kind of stuff. So throughout the city, there have been a lot of 300, the big number, 300 signs that have been set up in plazas and parks and all that. And people were taking pictures beside them, which I think is very, very cool. And if you've never been there, if you've never been to New Orleans, do yourself a favor and put that on, I hate the word bucket list, if you've never been to NOLA, but put it on your list and make your way to the French Quarter and eat some of that great cuisine that they have down there. The Napoleon House is a great place to go. I've been there a few times. And it's just, oh, it's just so fun to spend time there. And maybe I'm thinking about it because, you know, I'm looking at places to take a quick getaway in the next couple of months. And that's one of the places I like to go and visit for sure. But besides New Orleans, somebody else had sent me a note. So big shout out to our good friends at WGSO and for everything that they do for the show on 990 AM. But somebody else said to me, well, what are the places, if you look at your affiliates even, where are the places that you haven't spent much time? And one of the places, we're on a great station, KPAM in Portland, one of the places I haven't spent a lot of time in, I've been to Portland, but I haven't spent a lot of time in Portland, is a place that I'd love to explore a little bit more is Portland. Because they have some hidden gems too, just like I think NOLA does. Portland has these great wineries. And everybody always thinks of California for wineries, maybe New York a little bit, but Portland has some outrageously good wine. We just have to make sure, what is it? What was that study that I referenced in another hour? We can't have more than 7 drinks a week or else we're really risking it. According to this latest study, it's not good for us, when they were talking about the grams, the frequency of it all, the frequency. And I guess because this time of year is a time when a lot of people travel, and that's when that conversation starts to kind of ratchet up as to, you know, if you could get a quick getaway and you could go somewhere, where would you go? And I'll tell you one place it would not be right now. Sorry to my friends in Minnesota, but in Minnesota, where they're getting ready for more snow, it would have to be sometime in the summer, I think, because the idea of snow and a blizzard and the airport shutting down in April is just mind-boggling to me, that they're dealing with the possibility, and it's a good possibility. So the weather folks are saying, look at the map. The map is showing all kinds of things, ice and wind and crazy, crazy weather. And so people trying to fly in or out on Saturday are going to get absolutely stuck if what is supposed to come down, 10 to 12 inches of snow and mixed in with everything else, you're going to see that there's going to be a couple airports. I think they're going to have problems in Nebraska and South Dakota. They're going to have problems there too as well. So in this kind of version of a little of this and that, as I just keep my mind is wandering to some of the great places I could go. And I want to invite all of you to, I know you live in fabulous areas that have these cool nooks and crannies that people don't know. Send them to me at AmericaTonightRadio.com, AmericaTonightRadio.com, so I can push them out there for everybody else to see, and we can talk about your neighborhood, because I say that America Tonight is all about the buzz in your backyard and mine, so let's see what's there in your backyard. By the way, one thing I wouldn't want in my backyard is a million killer bees. And they say 1 million killer bees are threatening an entire neighborhood in far east El Paso. I lived in El Paso once a long time ago, though, and they say this is an aggressive colony of bees. It just invaded the neighborhood. An extractor went out to the home where the bees have been to relocate them, but they wouldn't allow it. So what do you do when the bees are out there and you've got these specialists, like 1 million Africanized bees living in the walls and roof of a house. An older couple lives in the home. They say the beehive has been in their walls for 3 years, but now the bees are getting mean, and the homeowners are worried about their neighbors, their pets, their children who walk by every day. What? So they couldn't get the hive. They don't want to kill the bees. They can't get the hive. They want to just move them out of the area. And there was a reporter that was out there that got stung like 8 times, recording video of them trying to remove the hive. Yikes. Bee extraction, dangerous. Hello. So I guess it's mixed breeds, Africanized and European bees together, they're saying. As they say, it's like a horror movie. So they're 20 or 30 times more aggressive than regular honeybees. And when they opened up a little area, they thought there might be like 20,000 bees, but there was 100,000 bees. So they swarmed them and started biting them, even with the suits. So they blocked off the street, and, you know, the city of El Paso says, look, the bees are not our responsibility. It's the homeowner. They're responsible, you know, the homeowner is responsible for calling the beekeeper to relocate them or exterminate them. That's how it is. So I guess they removed a large chunk of the hive a couple days ago, but there's still bees left. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we weren't worried about the bees. They were just kind of growing in, you know, inside the house. But now we're worried. We're worried about our neighbors. And you know, we got a million killer bees in this neighborhood. Oh, what if you're the next-door neighbor? What if you have kids and they got to walk by and get a bus? Oh, luckily, that's not happening in my backyard. How about yours? See you on the flip side.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside our borders. At Miles Franklin, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Franklin is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box program in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid Foundational Storage, partnered with the most respected name in security. Maintaining an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Limited, a name you can trust.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
You know, as we continue these conversations on Invade the Man Cave, who better to join me to riff about writing and the horror genre? And by the way, he's a master. I mean, he's a master. We'll talk about this in a second, but he and I did a book in like a week. I don't know if we want to tell everyone that because Brian can't do your book in a week. Or maybe he can, but I think he'd be overwhelmed. So you can hear him in the background. He's in my virtual green room. Brian Moreland, my pal, is the author of 10 horror books, several short stories. His books include The Witching House. I love that one. The Devil's Woods. I've read all of them. And Darkness Rising. You can get them on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, of course. What's so cool about Bri is he's traveling around Florida and he's writing a new supernatural thriller. In fact, maybe a bunch of them because that's how he works. Brian, thanks for hanging with me.
Hey, Kate. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Okay, so you have to tell us about this Florida thing. So you're traveling all around Florida. Do you have a favorite place that you can tell everyone? Like, what's the best, you're single, so what's the best babe-watching beach? Is there one?
Let's see. The babe-watching beach. You probably have to get down to Miami for that. South Beach may be a good area for that. But I really love, for me, I'm more attracted to the small, quaint beach towns like New Smyrna Beach. Fort Myers has a really nice beach and up around Sarasota as well.
Yeah, I like Fort Myers in Sarasota. Besides doing this thing behind the mic, I'm doing a speech in Fort Myers, and when they called me up, it was like a no-brainer. Are you kidding? Those beaches are some of the most beautiful beaches. And here's a secret, peeps listening. If you like sand dollars, like, I don't know what it is, Brian, but I love collecting sand dollars here and there. I'm not pilfering the beaches, but there's sand dollars all over the place, like in Sarasota, if you go at the right time of day. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And right now, it's already like summer here. I'm in Orlando this week, and it's been up to 80, 90 degrees already.
Wow. 80, 90 degrees.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. So you gotta tell us, it's 10 horror books and you're pumping them out and you're such a prolific writer. Why horror? Were you always attracted to scary things? What is it you like about it?
Well, I grew up watching horror movies as a kid, monster movies and sci-fi horror like Alien. And, you know, I even like some of the slasher movies of the 80s when they're done right. And, you know, there was such an adrenaline rush I got when I was scared. It, like, brought up some kind of primal fears. And I don't know, there's some reason things like going into haunted houses, you know, on Halloween, or going to a real scary movie and everybody's screaming around you when the movie gets real scary, there's an adrenaline rush you get. And I tended to discover that when I wrote my own horror stories, I could create that rush over and over and over again, not for just myself, but for anybody who read the books as well.
Yeah, so I love that. You like the adrenaline rush. I think I'm like you, too. I like the adrenaline rush. I like the suspense. We were talking a couple days ago about haunted houses and about liking, like, you know, my nephew Owen, you've met him, and he's 16, yes. And he does, even to this day, didn't as a little kid, but he doesn't like that whole suspense thing. So if you're going to jump out and you're going to be a zombie, he wants to know ahead of time. But I love suspense, and you do, too, right?
Right. Yeah, it sounds like he would prefer to see all the zombies sort of out in an open field with the sun in the sunlight, whereas I like to explore really dark places where it's more the unknown. You don't know what's hiding down in the basement or inside the old creepy house. That's what gets me going.
Yeah, me too. What do you think there's a difference? I mean, you're a writer, you see this, you talk to men and women. Do you think there's a difference how women look at horror movies and men look at them?
You know, I don't know if there's a difference between gender. Horror is such a personal experience, and everybody experiences fear in a different way. Now, I did go to see the movie A Quiet Place just a couple days ago with some friends, and there was a woman with us who loves horror. She's like, watches horror all the time, most of the time I meet guys who like horror, but it's always a rarity when I find a woman who's just totally into horror. And I ask her, why do you watch horror? And she said for her, it's an outlet for like all the stress that she feels at the end of the day. She just has to put on a horror movie and just, I don't know if it's, you know, it's the violence or just the escapism into the sort of scary place that gets you, you know, kind of gets you into that fear state. Maybe that's a release for her. But I found that interesting that she took a whole different approach to watching horror movies than I did.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you remember the first horror movie you ever saw?
Oh, boy. That goes, let's see. It would probably be one of the black and white horror movies, like, you know, Wolfman or Dracula or something like that when I was a kid. Because they used to have creature feature movies every Saturday when I was growing up, and I'd watch them with my mom. One of the scariest movies I remember ever seeing at the theater was Alien when I must have been like 10 years old, and that movie scared me to death.
You know, it's so funny you said that thing about Alien, because I was a kid, we're about the same age, and I was a kid too, and I wanted to see it. Sigourney Weaver was in it, and I just kept seeing these little spots for it here and there, and I wanted to see it. I begged to go and see it. And I was scared to death when the alien came out of the sink. Remember that? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That scared me. I had nightmares, I think, because I had a hard time sleeping. I was trying to hide it from my mom because I didn't want her to let me – I wanted her to let me go and see horror movies. So I didn't want to say I was afraid, but I was afraid when I saw that. And you know what was good about that? And because we both like suspense, that was a suspense movie. Yes, there was a ugly monster, but he's not – that monster and what the whole alien thing is isn't revealed all at once.
Right. And I went in completely not knowing what that movie was about. Like today, when you see a movie trailer, it pretty much shows everything and even glimpses of the monster. Whereas that one just showed, the commercial was just a close up of a kind of weird alien egg with light cracking through it. And then it slowly spelled out the word alien. And that's all I had to go on. So when I went in the theater and sitting there watching it, it was my first time to see what the characters looked like, what the ship looked like, and I had no idea even what kind of monster was in it. But boy, when they revealed it, it scared me out of my seat for sure.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And obviously you read it too. I mean, you're a writer, but do you have a favorite writer of horror, suspense, etc.?
Clive Barker.
Ooh, I like that. I've read a little bit of his stuff, but I haven't read those short stories. I'd love to read those. And maybe this is old school, and maybe because he's the first I read, but I don't know. There's something about Stephen King. I still like Stephen King.
Oh, yeah, I love Stephen King, and I've read several of his books and short stories as well. And he seems to be able to tap into what the population or society is feeling in a given year, or he seems to be able to understand what's coming up that we're going to be scared of in about 2 years from now or 10 years from now. And he channels that and he puts it in his stories. And it may be just about vampires or a killer dog, but there's always something underneath that I think connects with a large audience, which I think is why he's been so successful.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you go about when you decide you're going to write about something? How do you pick your topics and then work on the characters?
Yeah, for me, it's like I come up with a lot of times I'll come up with a title and maybe some kind of scary thing that I want to write about. And then I'll build my world and my characters around that. So sometimes I write the first scene, which I may not even know who the cast of characters is going to be in the story, but I got an idea for a prologue, how the first victim is going to be killed by this thing or hunted by this thing, and then I'll write that, and I'll get a sort of sense of the creature or the mystery or the setting, and from there, I'll just start with chapter one and start to build my main character, and that character will evolve over the course of writing the story. It may even change from a man to a woman, which happened in my last novel.
Wow, so even changing genders, that's interesting. So the key thing is you get to it, you have thoughts, sometimes it changes, mm-hmm. which is really
yeah.
cool, because then it's like about that the whole journey thing. We only have a short time left. I could talk to you all day long, and you're going to be a regular. Anyone listening, we're going to have
sure.
Brian hang out with us a bunch. But your first book, what was that like when that was put together and you actually saw it in print?
That was an awesome experience. The first one was very personal to me. It was Shadows in the Mist, and it was based on my grandfather, who was in World War II. He was a war hero, and it was loosely based on him. I mean, I based the relationship between the grandson and the grandfather at the beginning of the story, and then it flashes back to World War II, and it deals with the supernatural, a platoon of soldiers, kind of like in Saving Private Ryan, who cross over into Germany and they confront something supernatural that the Nazis had created. And I actually self-published that book first. I attempted many times to get an agent and sell it, and when I couldn't do that, I self-published it. And, boy, when I held that book in my hand the first time, it was like, it was like a baby, it was like I birthed this beautiful thing. And it was a very emotional moment for me.
Oh, I love it. Perfect place to wrap this up, because I know you got babes to look at in Fort Myers or Sarasota or over there, New
yes.
Smyrna, wherever. BrianMoreland.com. Check them out there. Brian, we'll catch up with you again on Invade the Man Cave.
All right. Thanks, Kate.
Perfect. That was good.
Yay.
Yeah, that was fun. Well, yes, definitely I'll have you on as regular. We'll have a lot of fun, because I think this whole thing's going to explode.
Yeah, and I think I'll get better as we get do more rips.
No, you were good. Yeah. You were good. I thought it was good. You played along and you had good stuff to say, so it was great. You were very
good.
I'll send you a copy of it when we have it all processed and everything.
Sounds great to me.
All right, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Kate.
Have a good one.
All right, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Face it, today's electric power grid is more vulnerable than ever. From natural disasters to EMP attacks and hacking, the grid could be crippled for days or even decades in the most dire scenarios. Visit quantumharvest.net to see our built-to-last EMP-protected solar power systems. While millions suffer, you'll have vital power for water pumps, refrigeration, and sanitation. Now that's peace of mind. EMP-protected solar power systems for every need and budget. See our full range at quantumharvest.net.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buy, sell, makeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. Or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
Right now, I don't think we gave him too much Red Bull. I'm not sure about that. He is the complete opposite of many of us on the third shift who kick it into high gear a little bit later in the evening. Eric Peters is our guest, and he is a libertarian. He is self-professed libertarian gearhead. He writes about cars, energy, and freedom. Here's what I like. If you go to ericpetersautos.com, because I'm an auto freak anyway, but if you go there, man, you will learn things that will make your eyes roll around in the back of your head, including some of the stuff that we've been talking about. What is the deal with biodiesel, which is being shoved down our throat, and who is really profiting from it? He calls it the Kool-Aid of the farm lobby, and I agree. Eric, thanks for hanging with us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, of course, now there's a lot of conversation about this, especially with the Iowa caucuses and all that stuff, and we're right into the thick of it. It seems like every day Hillary Clinton is in Iowa. So to be these politicians in modern times, you just is that what they do? They just, all right, look, we gotta go along with biodiesel, or we got to go along with ethanol. We keep hearing about the ethanol factor, but there's not even enough plants to manufacture what we would need, right?
Well, the interesting thing is that the lobby contributes equally to both political parties, and so in that way they've got both their bases covered. It really doesn't matter from their point of view which one gets elected, because ultimately it seems to be it's their guy or perhaps their woman, depending on how things turn out.
Yeah, so when you look at renewables, what specifically bothers you the most?
Well, let's see. Let's start with, we're told often about how advantageous it is to use these renewables. But if they're so advantageous, then why does the government have to force them down our throats? I've drawn the parallel with, I like to go to Chipotle. Your listeners may like Chipotle and get a burrito or a bowl there. And Chipotle doesn't send a lobbyist to Washington to have the government carve out a subsidy for Chipotle burritos because people like them and they're willing to buy them without any coercion involved. And I wonder why that same standard doesn't apply to these biofuels. If they're such a good idea, it shouldn't be necessary for the government to be involved.
Yeah, and I would say the other thing is, if it's such a good idea, then let's let the politicians drive around only on biofuels and really push that to all their constituents, which, of course, you know that's not happening, unless it's advantageous to them and they're in the breadbasket area or they're in areas where that's being pushed because of the corn lobbies there, then that's a whole different story. So it is about the power of the purse, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a very valid point. Similarly, with regard to Obamacare and various other things that they pass, they exempt themselves from it, and that's rather telling. You know, if it's not good for the goose, it shouldn't be good for the gander. The other point that I would make is that it does cause food prices to rise, simply because a lot of the potential food that could be produced for animal or human consumption, specifically with regard to ethanol, the corn, with regard to biodiesel, soybeans, is diverted to the production of these biofuels. And as a result of that, the cost of food goes up. So we're paying more for food and we're paying more for fuel.
Yeah, beef specifically would cost more. As I know, I'm in beef land in Dallas, and then it costs more, as I was talking to a farmer the other day, it costs more to ship that too, right?
Sure, because ethanol and biodiesel, it's less energy dense, so you have to burn more of it to go the same distance. So the truckers have to spend more on fuel to get from A to B, and the stuff that they're hauling costs us more because it's cost more to produce it.
Yeah, and then here's the other part of this, Eric. What about older cars? What does that do to older cars when you're talking about using these alternatives?
Well, ethanol has been a disaster for older vehicles, which were not designed to accommodate high alcohol content fuels. Most of the ethanol that's sold right now is E10, meaning that the gas you buy is 10% ethanol. They're pushing for E15, which would be 15% ethanol, and they're also looking down the road at E85, which is 85% ethanol. Alcohol is a corrosive fuel, and if the vehicle's fuel system is not designed specifically to accommodate it, you get all kinds of problems. One of the big ones is that it attracts moisture, and moisture is a big enemy of your fuel system. It causes fuel lines to rot out, and it's in particular playing havoc with people who have marine engines and so on, and power sports, lawn equipment and what have you. It's been really, really tough on those things.
Yeah, so when we look at that all combined, and then you look at the auto industry, and if you're producing new cars, I guess it depends on what it is you're producing and where you're at. But that can be a disaster, too, as well, for many in the auto industry, especially when they're in that, what I call the second-hand market, when we're talking about, like, used cars, right?
Yeah, it's accelerating the obsolescence of the older cars because it's increasing the wear and tear on them and getting them out of the market. And the other side of the coin is that, and to get back to the point about being less energy dense, your fuel efficiency goes down when you're using these fuels. And that's rather ironic because we're constantly told about how imperative it is that we get higher efficiency and more miles per gallon, and yet the government is force-feeding fuels that are less fuel efficient on the public.
Yeah. All right, I'd be remiss, Eric, if I didn't ask you this. We're speaking to Eric Peters. You can check him out at ericpetersautos.com. You know, you write about cars, and I saw a picture of you on a motorcycle. What's your favorite chariot to ride in? What do you like the best?
Cars or bikes?
Bikes.
Okay, I've got an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple, and for people who are familiar with those, in particular the H2 750 that was made in the early mid '70s, and they are were known as the Widowmaker back in the day because of their power curve, and there's nothing that quite makes the sound of a Kawasaki two-stroke triple on its power curve. there are bikes today that are much faster and much quicker, but they're much more controlled. As Hunter Thompson would say, it takes a real man to ride an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple.
I love that. How do you feel about, I know you wrote about this, you know, if you go to your website, you can read all this stuff, but you wrote about the Toyota Camry Hybrid. A lot of people are talking about hybrids, and what does that mean, and should I get a hybrid, and how much does it cost to me, and what did you find with the Camry?
Well, I find, now, I think the technology is impressive and interesting, but despite all the hobbles that have been put on them by the government, you can get diesels that will do as well or better for significantly less money. With all due respect to Toyota, and I like the Camry, it's a good car, you can pick up something like a Volkswagen Jetta TDI diesel for about $5,500 less than the base price of the Camry Hybrid. And in real-world driving, and I drive these cars for a living, and so I can tell you from personal experience, you will match the mileage of a hybrid, in particular if you drive a lot on the highway, which most people tend to do, for less money with less hassle. So I'm very impressed with some of the diesel cars that are on the market right now.
Yeah. When you go out, because obviously, you know, you ride a lot, and if you're on your bike, do you have a favorite route that you take?
Yeah, I live out here in the sticks of rural southwest Virginia, and there's a road just down the road from me called Bent Mountain, and it's a series of S-turns that goes about 2-3 miles from about 1,500 feet at the valley floor all the way up to about 3,000 feet in that relatively short distance, and it's the finest test track you'll find on the East Coast, in my opinion.
Wow. So, you know, I said this in the beginning, too, mixing in the politics of the libertarian bent. When you look at the fact that on Thursday we got 10 people on a stage of the Republican debate, is there anyone in that crowd that you like?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. You know, it's really kind of daunting and sad to look at that field and not find anybody that's really simpatico. And the reason, as a libertarian, that's the case is I'm not looking to tell anybody what to do. I would just like to leave everybody alone and ask the same in return.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, none of those guys are willing to do that.
Yeah, it looked like Rand Paul, you know, initially, when Rand Paul jumped into the Senate, it looked like he was going in that direction, but now that's switched, I think.
I think so, too, unfortunately. Of course, you know, on the other side of the fence, it's none too appealing either.
Yeah, so then what do you do? I mean, it comes down to this. I say this all the time because I'm always pushing for the third party. But, you know, when it comes to voting, do you just say, well, I got to sit this out because who am I voting for?
Well, there's lots of arguments to be made on that. But one of them that I think is pretty persuasive is by just withdrawing your consent. They desperately need the illusion, if not the actuality, of consent. That is the idea that most people have supported one or the other candidates. But when you break it down, particularly at the presidential level, what is it, something like about half the eligible voter pool votes. So that's about 50%. And then the winner typically wins by about 25%. So you've got a relatively small minority of the actual eligible voters who actually wind up selecting the president. So despite all the talk about democracy, the majority rule, in fact, the minority rules.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And if you, like you said, if you do the math, it's simple math, then you realize what's really happening. Yeah,
exactly.
Really, really sad. Fun to talk to you, though, Eric Peters. Thanks for hanging late with us. And again, check him out at ericpetersautos.com. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Bye-bye. And nothing to see. Sometimes I feel like something is gone here. Something is wrong here.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.